Thank you for being here. Thank you for attending this session. And very excited today to talk about the idea on how you lead this revolution that we're in. More importantly, I'm much more excited to talk about how do you sustain this. You know, this conference has been so good. We learned a lot about Project Online, new features, great things. But as we all know, when we go back excited, we try to do all this stuff, give it 2 weeks. What's the hardest part with all this? Adoption, change, nothing to do with the tools, right? So how do we sustain this? Now, before I answer that question and show you steps that's proven, that's worked, I want to kind of paint a picture of what's going on in our world today. So you guys remember this company? So Blockbuster in 1999 did an initial public offering. Around that same time, a guy named Reed Hastings decided he's tired of returning his DVDs to Blockbuster and pay late fees. He decided he's going to start a company called Netflix with a novel idea of streaming movies on the internet. In 2004, at the peak of Blockbuster, they had 9,000 stores and 60,000 employees around the world. Amazing. And around the same time, 2007, the CEO or CFO Blockbuster decided, you know what we're going to do? We're going to open more stores, physical stores. This whole internet thing is just a fad. It'll go away. In 2010, they filed bankruptcy. Dish Network bought whatever's left of Blockbuster at this time. And as of 2013, no more. What just happened here? Shift happens. I mean, and it's not just technology companies. You may think, well, ducks, you know, Blockbuster, AOL, Netscape. Anybody remember Bethlehem Steel? In the early 1900s, Bethlehem Steel was the biggest company in this country. In fact, they built this country. Today, they no longer exist. What happened? What happened? Shift happens. You see, the reason why we're in this conundrum, companies today weren't built to adopt change. Companies to this day operate around the model of the Industrial Revolution. At that time, the idea of the Industrial Revolution is to drive efficiency, mass produce, optimize. Let's put in structures, let's put in processes and hierarchy. And don't get me wrong, it's great. They had to do what they had to do with the tools that they had. Unfortunately, the way we work today is the exact same way as how Ford ran their business back then. That's how we run projects. But the problem is, the world today is so dynamic. It's ever-changing. It's constantly evolving. But the structure and the systems we've put in place cannot support this. Do you know that in 1995, Fortune 500 companies back then, fast forward to today, I think there's only, I read a stat, 20-30% of those companies are still around. That's not too long ago, friends. So this shift is happening, we like it or not. And we see this day in, day out in our role as project managers. We are in a critical time of transformation. We can kind of ignore it, but you don't want to be the next Blockbuster. I mean, the revolution is already here with these four signs. We talk a lot about this. Jared and the keynote talk about this concept of BYOD. You know, even Microsoft. Back in the day, everything has to be in Microsoft. Everything has to be in Windows. Today, who would have thunk we would show an iPhone, or Microsoft would show an iPhone, the keynote demo. It's all good. In our world, in our companies, people bring in their tablets. Now, forget hardware. I mean, we as project managers know this. If marketing wants stuff done and IT's too busy, they need to work with the vendors, what do? They go Box. They go Basecamp. They go Dropbox. I need to get my stuff done. It's so dynamic. things are happening quite fast. It's just staggering how things are changing. Acquisitions, mergers, bankruptcies. Who would have imagined a guy putting a video on YouTube in July 2012 would rake in 6 billion views in 6 months and make $8 million? I'm not sour grapeing here. Shift is happening. We're in the age where we have to do more with less. I don't need to speak more around this, but we are also in the age where communication is heavily evolving, and we don't really think about this. For example, who in this room got 100 emails last week? Raise your hand. Okay, leave your hands up. Of those hands that are up, how many of you got handwritten letters last week at the same time? Keep your hands up if you did. See? There's a big disconnect where we think, okay, email is great, we're managing stuff, but look at how things are changing. I used to write a lot of Christmas greetings, holiday greetings, but with the advent of the internet, email is now killing USPS. Let me ask you this. How did you hear about the birth of the royal baby? How? Was it somebody emailed you? You read it on the papers? Twitter? Some of you. Where did you hear about the royal baby? That they already had a baby. What? Facebook, right? You didn't have to wait for a reporter at the 7 o'clock news entertainment section. They just had the baby. But that was like 6 hours later you found out. In fact, the irony of all this, in our personal lives, do we even use email? Who uses email to communicate with your friends and family regularly? Okay? Who uses Facebook more to communicate with your friends and family? Yes? In fact, I use email primarily to get my online bills and reminders. Y'all with me? We don't think about it. Communication is changing. In fact, how communication is changing today with social tools such as Twitter is so powerful. With good things, even bad things, social plays a very critical role. I know you know about the recent typhoon that affected the Philippines, very bad, the worst in recorded history. They saved a lot of lives because when this thing hit, a lot of the folks that are on the ground who got affected got the word out through social. They knew the condition. The rescue team that was supposed to rescue, all of them got swept away. So they didn't have any visibility. There's no government there. But through citizens who communicate to Twitter and Facebook, we need this kind of medication. We need this kind of food. We're in this location hiding. Help. That couldn't have worked with email. Phenomenal. All this is changing and shifting how we live. Because we're in a day and age where technology has already caught up on how we engage. We as humans, we have an intrinsic drive to engage and connect. We're just born like that. It has nothing to do with technology. We connect in tribes. We connect in groups. We connect in teams. But the technology has caught up. See, a lot of us, when we think about social, we always think of it in a personal, non-work context. It works. But then when we start talking about social in the workplace, in the project environment, that's a distraction. I live and work in D.C. I work with a lot of decision makers. And when I start talking about this idea, oh, we don't need no social. We don't want no pictures of cats in our project sites. You're missing the point. We can take a lot of these capabilities and characteristics and employ it in our day-to-day work, in our projects, and you can see how much more we can accelerate and mature how we run projects. You see, today, look at our work environment. This was an actual survey. Typical consumer, we work with four devices day in, day out, right? No matter how fancy people say they are, oh, I'm using a tablet now. I go to work. I'm a project manager with a tablet. Really, what do they use the tablet for? Tell me. Email. Maybe read a document. It's no different than when they have BlackBerry. It's just, you know, shinier. You see, the context in the workplace is getting worse, meaning now we live in this very dynamic world where we get information left and right. While we have all these tools, people have three monitors at work, you know, efficiency is down. Productivity is down. Teams today are overwhelmed. 61% of our time is spent on coordinating collaboration, and you would agree with me. This is a formal study done by McKinsey. We spend a lot of our time trying to look for what we need. 38% of our time is lost duplicating work and searching for information. IDC. I mean, if we talk about this, let's say in your workplace, 38% 8-hour day, how much is that? 3 hours or 4 hours? Three? Thank you. I'm not smarter than a fifth grader, so math is hard. So 3 hours, what does that cost? 3 hours for a group of 20 people working on a project, 3 times 20 in a day, that's 60 hours a day, times a month, 1,200 hours. In dollars, how much is that? If it was an intern, 3 hours, maybe, I don't know, $50. But what if it's a high-powered consultant that's billing at $500 an hour sitting in your facility and they can't find stuff? That 3 hours is what? $1,500. We don't think about these things. It's getting worse. Did you guys hear about that story? Bill Gates went to Starbucks. You hear about this? So Bill Gates went to Starbucks and he was in line. The guy uses cash. He doesn't believe in credit. So he's paying for his latte, grab a $100 bill, accidentally drops it. He clearly seen that he drops it, but he didn't pick it up. He got the other $100 and paid for his coffee. The guy behind him picked up the $100 and ran out, "Hey, Mr. Gates, you dropped your $100 bill. You're so obnoxious, you didn't pick it up. Why?" "Forgive me, because if I pick that up, that'll be 5 seconds of my time, which is $2,000. I just made that up, so don't tweet that or don't quote at me on that. I might not speak at another Microsoft conference, you know? But we don't think about these things, gang. I mean, we live this day in, day out. Now, the speed of information is just driving all this change that we're living in. Think about it. Back in the 80s, I know, I remember when the Zach Morris phone first came out. You know, Zach, the brick Motorola phone. When I see somebody with that, I'm like, man, that person is cool. He's talking. But I don't really have visibility into what he's talking about. I just see this cool guy with a Zach Morris phone. Today, I can see Josh walking around. I might not know him. I'd be talking on a phone. I'll put in my phone, open an app with facial recognition, looks at him. Oh, looks him up on LinkedIn. He's Josh Ness with Dynamic Events. He runs all the social here. Oh, I needed something so I could walk to him and ask him about it. Y'all with me? The speed of information drives change. What are you doing about this as project managers? I love this quote from Jack Welch. If the rate of change on the outside exceeds the rate of change on the inside, you're dead. Essentially, that's what it is. No, docs. I mean, you're drinking this social Kool-Aid. I mean, again, think about your personal lives. How many Amazon reviews externally, you know, you bought something Amazon, bad product, can impact a company's business? Everybody with me? How many times, because of social, companies were brought down to their knees and had to do stuff to redeem themselves? You know that whole United broke my guitar? That's a great story, right? Sorry, I know, Denise, you work for United. But since then, it's different, right? That's hard lessons to learn. So if we keep doing what we're doing and expecting that, we'll be fine. We'll ride out this social wave. Newsflash, not. So when we bring this to our world, to the enterprise, what does that truly mean? This is the best definition of enterprise social I've found anywhere. So what I want you to do is read it with me out loud, and then I'll show you an example of what this exactly means. So 1, 2, 3. Enterprise social is an important method for enhancing communication, coordination, collaboration for... Did it say anything about news feeds? Or tagging? Or at mentions? No. What this is saying is, whatever your enterprise social cup of tea is, as long as it meets these purposes for the business, that's enterprise social. You know, last year, I was working with a large organization who's rolling out SharePoint 2013 globally. They've got Project Server 2013 as well. And I was advising them on this process. And the project manager asked me, so, Docs, what do you think? You know, when we upgrade to 2013, we're going to throw in wikis, news feeds, all the social stuff. I go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Why? Why? Again, you know, I know a lot of you have heard this from me. But whenever they give me that silent treatment, I feel insecure as an immigrant to this country that my English is not good enough. So I asked them another question. ¿Por qué? What do you mean, Docs? I go, why do you think you need these news feed, you know, social, wiki? Why? Isn't that the new thing? That's what Microsoft's pushing. That's the buzzword. That's what my project team says they want, a wiki. I go, why? I don't know. To me, I don't know what a wiki is. I know they use it in clubs, you know, wiki, wiki, wiki. How does a news feed will help accounting process expense reports faster, better? If you cannot give me a solid case or justify that, don't even touch that thing. Y'all with me? I'm pitching social from a context of you have to identify the business value first, and I'll show you how to do that in a second. Okay, Docs, great. I get it. Now I understand what enterprise social is. It's not putting a picture of a cat. But can you show me, can you paint me a picture what this can be for my company? So let me show you this video.
History has taught us that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. That working together, we are able to accomplish more than we could ever accomplish on our own. That when great minds come together, anything is possible. So we are reinventing the way people work together. We are making it easier than ever before to share ideas, discover connections, ask questions, find answers. Stay in sync. Organize information. And build the team that takes an idea and makes it a reality. SharePoint, the new way to work together.
One comment I have with these videos, why do they always start with some guy with a dog walking, right? Because in my projects, I never do that. But anyway, with that short video, I'm sure you can start to see the power and the value of a platform that provides enterprise social capabilities. Especially for project management, I mean, think about how you can better engage with your teams, other than just calling them or texting them or emailing. In our own company, we use news feeds. Just the basic concept of news feed. If we need information, if we need to get ideas, hey, who's worked on this or who's engaged with this customer before? I can have access to collective knowledge easily, tacit knowledge easily, because with email, I don't even know who to email. The other benefit for project management, as you've already seen, is the dynamic way to be able to collaborate. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we get rid of our structures and processes and hierarchies. Those are important. But equally as important, we need to layer in a way so we can work together in a more agile, dynamic fashion. I mean, in project management today, agile is the buzzword, right? Email can't make you agile. Business agility, things change, requirements change, government mandates comes up, sequestration happens. You remember that time sequestration happened? That just caught a lot of people off guard. But more importantly, having this idea of connectedness where it's not just in a single repository, it's not I have to use email or project. On my phone, I can interact with the right data or the right person whenever I need it. I love it when shift happens because the thinking now is moving and adding our structures, our silos, which from an engagement collaboration standpoint, it's quite ineffective, to an idea of being connected, where what we're doing is facilitating purposeful collaboration. That's why when people tell me, we want a WikiDocs, we want social, why, what's the purpose? If you cannot answer that, don't do anything. You know, I don't subscribe to the belief, some people tell me, well, Docs, we'll just throw it out there and see what sticks. IT has that mindset. Let's throw social out there, let's do the upgrade, and let's see what sticks. Nothing will stick. They'll look at this thing as, I'm so busy, I have so many tools, now you throw me another tool, forget it. Some of you may be thinking, well, Docs, this is nothing new. I mean, we try SharePoint, it still won't work, it doesn't fit, you know. I have a three-year-old daughter, and during her last birthday, she's into princesses now, so I bought her this puzzle set, and I was quite disappointed because when she got the box, she just ripped it open and started playing. She didn't even read the instructions. 10 minutes later, she can't put it together. She got frustrated, dropped it, and walked her old toy. Cry, baby. But we do the same, right? Here's social. Go have fun. They go back to email. See, a lot of times the way we approach introducing technologies is we think to make people adopt, all they need is training. So part of our launch, we're going to update to Project Online, we're going to put in social, we're going to do all this stuff, and then we'll have them attend a four-day class or read a book or read a video or watch a video. Not going to work. Because a lot of times, these types of training, while it's important, is so technology-focused. Here's a link. You click here to Office 365 admin. Here's a list. Here's a library. Here's how you synchronize. Okay? What's the context? Por qué? You have to think about adoption long-term. If you leave here with two words, is the two words sustainable adoption. How do you sustain adoption? To drive sustainable adoption, the goals you want to achieve, first of all, is you want to drive excitement. Because you're touching the business, people have to believe, people have to be excited that this will make their lives better. Not just, oh, it's like Facebook. The second goal of purposeful or sustainable adoption is it should facilitate positive change. There's no point introducing new tool and business as usual. Does it help them save time, save money? Be more agile, deliver business value quickly. And lastly, how do you sustain this? How do you empower people to continue to grow and utilize the platform in ways that you didn't even think about? Those are the three goals of driving sustainable adoption. So what I want to do in the latter half of this session is to show you five steps on how to do this. And I'll share examples and stories and organizations I've worked with on how this was done. First step to drive sustainable adoption. You have to secure stakeholder buy-in. What that means is you have to work with decision makers. I'm not even talking about CEO. Maybe you talk to the PMO. But really make them see the value and understand of investing in a platform like this. Not just, hey, you know, if we go to Project Online, lower infrastructure costs, well, that's valid. But you want to talk about something more strategic and higher. And this is a sad fact. Gartner released a recent research. By 2015, any social initiative, 80% of them will fail because it's overly stressing technology and lack of leadership and ownership. When you secure executive buy-in, what you want to do is not only sign off, we're going to do this, but really make them understand that this will be part of our strategic goals. And how can we support those business goals by investing in this? So let me share an example. A great story is Nationwide Insurance. Okay, for those not from here, Nationwide Insurance, a big insurance company in the States. And there was a customer in Florida. The guy bought car insurance for his RV, recreational vehicle, from one of the agents, representatives that sells insurance. And one day, he was driving with his family. They caught in a bad storm. Car broke down, middle of nowhere in Florida. So this guy called the rep who sold him the insurance. Hey, am I covered here? Can I get a tow truck, what have you? The guy says, no, it's not covered with thunderstorm, whatever. But the customer didn't believe that, so he called the customer service of Nationwide Insurance. The customer service person picked up the call and say, hey, am I covered for thunderstorm, whatever? I'm here with my family, what have you, blah, blah, blah. The customer service person looked up his account, insurance policy, and it didn't say if he was covered or not. Now he's in this big conundrum. He went into the CRM, your traditional system of record, looked it up, but didn't find an answer. But with Nationwide Insurance, customer comes first. So what did he do? They had Yammer. So he threw it out there under Yammer feed and said, customer has a problem, hashtag emergency. Hashtag emergency, I think it was emergency or something, but that hashtag was a standard used by the company. If a customer is in trouble, it will go to leadership and they would respond. Because of that, key leadership saw it, and somebody made a override that rule and say, okay, we'll cover him. In 30 minutes, a tow truck came. In an hour, a taxi came to pick them up, take them to the hotel. A day later, the customer blogged about it, and apparently this guy is some popular guy that has a lot of followers. I don't care how much I pay Nationwide, customer for life. Y'all with me? That's the kind of value that your decision makers, your leaders should understand, and not just about we get to use Yammer on my phone. Business matters, enterprise social doesn't. Tweet that. Social is about empowering bottom-up organizations so they can have visibility and allow them to be dynamic and engaged to make top-down business goals successful, like in this case with Nationwide. Now, from a project management perspective, this is so invaluable. I mean, think about our project management activities here. Not only do we rely everything on email, think about meetings. Don't you love meetings? Every week you have your status meeting, and then you have your resource meeting, and then you have the meeting to plan for the next kickoff meeting. Here's a great case where it shows how Yammer streamlined the specification review process for SharePoint engineering team.
I've been at Microsoft for 17 years. Been working on SharePoint since 1998, since we started the team. And we've come a really long way, but Yammer is just this fundamental upgrade to how people communicate, and it's really enabled our team to fundamentally upgrade how we communicate with each other.
One of the highlights of using Yammer in our day-to-day work is the way in which Yammer has improved the spec review process for us. The process used to be that we would send out a meeting request, discuss the feature, come to decisions in that meeting, and then that feature would progress all the way through development while only having a few eyes on it.
Yammer as a tool has really enabled us to bring a lot more people from around the company into our conversations. People we didn't even expect to be able to participate. and we didn't even know who to ask, they'll just jump into conversations. And that's people in marketing, it's people in sales, people in consulting, and people in all of our partner engineering teams around the company.
Communicating in public brings us to better decisions faster. Since we've adopted Yammer, we can communicate more quickly because we don't have to wait for synchronous meetings.
Instead of getting everybody together with all the scheduling conflicts we had to face before, we can get things done, you know, usually like that same day, just by having a Yammer thread where everybody can participate.
For me, as a PM, one of the specs that I've personally owned required me to come up to speed on a web part that was designed years ago. And what I was able to do with Yammer was to just simply search on the name of the feature, find all the groups that were related to the production and refinement of that web part, and learn about its history and where it's been and how it was made, so that in my refinement, I was able to leverage all that information and not have to have synchronous meetings with the stakeholders to have them get me up to speed. I was able to do that all on my own. And it led to me getting a spec out a lot faster than I otherwise would have been able to do without Yammer.
So it's both good for the team, and I think it's been really good for me. It's been good for the individuals on the team because, we get a lot more context. So we just have the information we need to do our jobs most effectively. We can also share way more easily. So it's a lot easier to sort of get credit for the things that you're doing. You get likes, you get responses, people praise each other a lot more often in Yammer. It's really been an amazing tool, I think, for individual empowerment and engagement.
Communications are better in the open, so by moving to Yammer, it helped us get to better designs faster and better communication with our field and better communication with marketing and ultimately better product for customers.
So when we work with decision makers, a great way to make our case is to show these examples. So what I encourage you is when you go back and you want to think about investing or utilizing enterprise social, you got to get commitment and sponsorship, at least for a pilot, and I'll talk about a pilot in a second, with key decision makers. And not just saying we'll have Facebook for the enterprise. That doesn't mean anything. The second step to drive sustainable adoption is now you map enterprise social capabilities to business value. So you come a level down and engage with your teams, your resources, your peers. And when we think about this, the idea is we want to make sure that if we push this through, we can encourage and motivate change. One of the things that we don't consider, a lot of organizations I've worked with, when they invest in a major technology overhaul, the most expensive cost that people don't even look at is change. What's the cost of change? You know, here's the cost of the servers, here's the cost of training, but what's the cost of change, right? Change, as you know, is often met with resistance. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I deal with that a lot in Washington, D.C. And I thought that this whole thing is a generational thing, but I don't buy that anymore. People make this excuse. It's a lame one. They say, oh, Docs, you don't understand. You know, you're in government, working with government people. They're not the young kids today who's using Facebook. At first, I thought that was the case, but a few months ago, I realized that was a lame excuse because I was with a customer. I was actually in their facility. I was working with Mr. Smith, and we were talking about this, and he talked about all he needs is Excel and email. He can run his team. He doesn't need anything else. It was hard for me to convince him. I go, all right, whatever. So as we walked out, so it was 5 o'clock, we walked out his office, walked out to the street. The first thing he did, he opened up, he took out his iPhone, looked at his Facebook feed, responded to people, put smiley face likes, downloaded Candy Crushers and playing Candy Crushers while walking. So you're telling me that this is too much for you to learn, whereas picking up the concept of using iPhone, interacting with social, downloading an app is a walk in the park. Enough excuses. Down with the whiners, right? So to map the business value, we have to make a case. So how do you make a case? Keep in mind, especially around project management, again, in a lot of mature organizations, it's very structured, it's very stringent, but you can take a bottoms-up approach and pitch how you can deliver purposeful collaboration. So what you do is you look at common pain points. So what are some of the common pain points? How do we facilitate more efficient meetings? How can we just stop this whole emailing back and forth of the proposal? How can we better work together? Yesterday, Jared showed a demo of co-authoring. That's powerful. We use co-authoring a lot. I mean, I know a lot of you still, when you're working on specification documents or functional requirements, you still email the document back and forth, or maybe you put in the file share and you say, you know, requirements document, underscore V1, underscore DRS. And then somebody picks it up, underscore V2, whatever. Look at those little things. I'm not asking you to solve big problems. One of the things you don't want to do right away is start thinking about, and this is classic IT, oh, we're going to hook up our enterprise social to CRM, SAP, Run DMC. It's true, right? Because as IT, if we focus on the day-to-day business stuff, that's not cool. That's not bright, shiny object. But that gives you the best bang for your buck, low risk, high value. So how do you do this? How do you go after low-hanging fruits, and how do you identify quick wins? I'm going to show you an example. So take the case of project management or collaboration. What if we can shift how we do work just with straight email and combine a platform, enterprise social platform, that would accelerate and improve how we manage work, update tasks, and engage with our team members? Check this out.
Meet my colleague Alex. He and I are working on putting together a presentation for our boss. Thanks to SharePoint 2013, we're able to easily centralize and manage all related artifacts and communications for this project. On a typical day, Alex would start working from home using his Mac. He would check his email from a browser and start work from there. Looks like Alex is reviewing the tasks for the project, and he has some questions for me about the project. Just by using the browser, he's able to instant message me using technologies like Link. One of the key benefits of SharePoint 2013 is a deep integration with existing tools that we already use, like Microsoft Office, smartphones, and even web-based technologies. So even if I am out and about, I'm still not at the office yet, I can easily respond to Alex on my phone and update my task. The beauty with SharePoint 2013 is that I can continue working with Alex once I get to the office. You just assign me a task on the project site, and look at what happens. It automatically shows up on my task list in Microsoft Outlook. Isn't that cool or what? Additionally, within Outlook, I can email the entire team directly using this neat feature called Site Mailbox. The site mailbox is available not only in Outlook, but it's the same site mailbox that the team can see and interact with directly on the project site. The site mailbox also provides visibility to all the documents I have in the project site. So what do you think? Are you excited? I am. This is the new way to work together with SharePoint 2013.
So what do you guys think? Is that useful? Right? BYOD, Alex starts home with his Mac. That's cool. You don't need to VPN in and fire up that Microsoft project via Citrix. You love that, right? I work on my terms. I'm on the road as PM. I see Alex IM me via Link. I respond. I update my task, which cascades through all these other pieces. Now let's take it further. So this is a similar project site. I'm on Project Online. I'm working on presentation. Notice there's a feed here, right? So this is the project feed. So I created a Yammer group for this project, and I'm working with a couple people. So let's say the day came to be. I'm here now at Project Conference, and a couple people back at the farm are rooting for me, and I just wanted to give them visibility into what's going on. So what I'm going to do, because of the apps that's available, this is on my phone, I'm going to bring up Yammer and go to that project feed, and I'm going to take a picture, all right? Just to make sure they see me. Can you help me, Alex? So I'm going to stand right here and just take a picture with the whole team, all right? So just to prove that I'm doing this now. Okay. Good? All right, I'm going to tag you on Facebook, all right? So all I did is I brought up the Yammer app. I went to the project feed for this project site, and it's posting it real time, okay? And as soon as I've done that, what happens? My team, who's part of this site, will be notified, hey, check out, there's new content in the project feed. We long for this day, right? A one-stop shop. Everything about our project is here. Our documents, our tasks, our calendars, conversations, not just text. What do you guys think? Enterprise Social allows you to deliver project management on your terms. I don't have to box you, hey, Sham, you have to use Project. Randy, you have to use Primavera. Use whatever you want. Microsoft, and there's no one out there, has that full suite of tools that lets you do this. And you can do this today. You all have Project Online now. Sign up for Yammer. It's free. You can do this. Exactly what I just did. Now, what do you guys think so far? Helpful? All right. So when we think about Enterprise Social, don't think that it's a destination. Don't think it's somewhere you go to. You think about Enterprise Social, you think of something that will get your work done faster, better, sooner. Again, as an example, you go to work every day. What are the three tools you can't live without, you can't function without it? Email, Word, Excel. Everybody with me? Without those three, you can't work. But today, you can't say the same for SharePoint or Project Server. It's like a nice to have. If they take SharePoint away from you, Project, no big deal. Life goes on. Unfortunately, SharePoint today, 80% of global deployments is nothing but a big file dump. But what if you can integrate all this and make it a fabric of how you work? And that's what Microsoft has. So when we say social, it's not just Yammer. It's a full platform to get your work done faster, better, sooner. So as you map to social, as you map to business value, how do you do this? You align project management needs to how Enterprise Social can help. And I'm not saying you use every single thing. Think about your world. Okay, docs, I need help with project transparency. I need to provide better visibility. By updating your task, your information will roll up to the project site, which will roll up to PWA, which will roll up to your reports. That's cool. What about team collaboration? What about communication to drive faster decisions? That's my pet peeve in DC. It's hard to get to decisions sooner. Just like that SharePoint team with Yammer, it allowed him to do that. This is a great case study out of New Zealand. An engineering firm called Becca. They have engineering projects all over. And one of the things they have, or they're challenged with, is how do they engineer their engineers and project teams to go back and work with subject matter experts across different projects and get the information soon. Traditionally, they use email and phone and text. It's still not cutting it. Because as you know, construction projects are very time sensitive, compliance issues. So they had Yammer, which was integrated to their Active Directory, so for single sign-on. They used mobile apps for the guys building the buildings. What were the results? It was easy adoption, increased executive engagement, meaning there's more visibility into what's going on by teams doing the work, but more importantly, access to relevant information, tacit knowledge, faster. Powerful stuff. That's the business value. The third step to drive sustainable adoption is you want to initiate a pilot. So, up to this point, are you guys sold that there's value for Enterprise Social and Project Management? Raise your hand. Okay? Good. So, how do you do this, right? Do we just start doing it for everybody, docs, or how do we make sure we get the best bang for our buck and be cautious as well? You start a pilot. You start with a team, maybe a project team, or maybe, don't go with the high-profile projects right away. Start with maybe an internal project you're working on, and see how all this works. So your goal here is to pitch the idea that enterprise social can get your work done faster, better, sooner. And again, there's a lot of different scenarios you can tap on within your project environment. And the way to do this, here's what I highly, highly recommend. Now, this is where the process part is important. Draw up a game plan on how enterprise social technologies would integrate. So for example, in this organization, they have this project management process, and they step me through of how projects work in their organization. You know, a sponsor approves it, a PM gets assigned. Once the PM gets assigned, they build a schedule in Project Pro, they assign team, they create a project site, blah, 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 blah. Having a game plan is important because this does three things. Number one, it gets everybody on the same page when you do the pilot as to what the roadmap looks like. Number two, it introduces roles and responsibilities. Meaning, if you're a project manager, you will be tasked using Microsoft Project, and then you create a project site, and then you'll interact with everybody through the social feed. And then the third and the most important part of this, to drive sustainable adoption, we're now defining the contextual learning that this individual needs. We don't need to send this person to a four-day Microsoft Project training because this person needs to know these things. Well, guess what? We can put together a two-hour lunch and learn contextual training on what this person needs to do to get their job done faster, better, sooner. Y'all with me? I actually have the full-blown Visio diagram of this, and if you want a sample, I can send it to you. Does that work? Okay, well, tell you what. If you put your contact info here, everything I'm showing, the Visio and templates, I'll just send it to you. And I'll also send you a free copy of my book, SharePoint for Project Management. Would you like that? I'll give you a code, you can download it. If you've already gave me your contact info from previous sessions, you don't have to do that, all right? So if you can put money also, that'd be good. Hey, my son has to go to college, right? Now, so once you have your game plan, when you do your pilot, set up the system, set up the environment, deliver contextual training. Ensure it's relevant, applicable to their day-to-day activities. You frame the learning not from a perspective of here's a site, here's a Yammer feed, but talk around the idea of, okay, when you initiate a project, as soon as we get the okay from the sponsors, let's go ahead and create a project site. And by the way, this is how you do it. To do change control, right? We're going to put our change request form onto our project site using a list or an info path form. Well, no more. Nobody got that, right? Put in some workflow so it will automatically go to the CCB, or maybe we'll just use Yammer, whatever. So you make it relevant. Keep it interactive. Engage participants to learn. I mean, some of you enjoy how I present, but for me, I do this because I know when I want to learn, I learn better when I'm engaged, when I have fun. Yes, you can have fun. Project managers can have fun. Right? Here's an example I want to show. When I help organizations do training, right, I do this thing called the Project Management Jeopardy. Okay? So the idea is, when we roll this out, the context of this is, okay, guys, when we do training today, you got to remember all this stuff, because in the end, we will play the project management Jeopardy. You all know how Jeopardy works, right? Okay. And if we play the project management Jeopardy, there's prizes and all that. So let's simulate this and see how this works. All right, let's pick our first contestant here. Yes, sir, go ahead. For what? Have you watched the show? All right, so let me start off. I mean, I've watched the show. Alex Trebek normally stars it, right? All right, so let's start with PM 101 for $100. What is a unique temporary, it is a unique temporary endeavor that has a definite start and finish. Ah, very good. Here's a prize for you. The answer is, what is project? That's how you do it in Jeopardy, right? Okay, let's try another one here. Okay, so you got the answer, right? Project management tools for 200. It is the number one project management tool PMs rely on. Great. What is email? Very good, congratulations. What do you guys think? Was that fun? Guess what? It's just PowerPoint. You guys want this? Yeah. To drive sustainable adoption. Oh, everything in it. It's going to be $100 a download. No, I'm just kidding. People learn better when they're engaged. They don't keep flashing PowerPoints. The last point is, when you start a pilot, give homework. So let me share a story. Last year, I worked with an organization, 100,000 people organization. They're upgrading to a lot of the new tools with Microsoft, and they really, really want the business to gain value out of this. So I said, okay, let's start a pilot. So we handpicked 80 people from the business, and they already have this preconceived notion of all these tools, right? And yeah, you can put it there. And what I did is I did three things. So the first thing is I put out a business survey. Simple form, three questions. What's your biggest business pet peeve, day in, day out, if we can help solve, what would that be? Number two, what's the tool that you most rely on? And number three, if you had a better tool, what would that do? Simple questions, and they responded the survey. I got it back. The next thing I did a virtual roundtable, again, low-key, 30 minutes. In this virtual roundtable, I took all this response and showed everybody. I said, this is the response, and what we're going to do is I'm going to address this with a workshop. The third thing I did is we did a workshop, one-day workshop. They flew all these decision makers into corporate, and the idea of the workshop is essentially I showed them a lot of these things I showed you, but I extended it further. I said, this is your pain point. Look what you could do with these tools that you already have. And that got everybody excited. But then the last thing I did, after that activity, I didn't just let people leave. I gave homework. And I work with IT. What we did is we put together a contest. We called it SharePoint Idol. So the idea was, these 80 people were grouped into teams based on their department. You take what you learned today, what's possible, and come up with something that would address your pain point. You know, it could be like meetings, working on documents, very simple things. And also, in this four-week contest, we're going to put together a portal called SharePoint Idol, where you'll find all the links and resources and how-tos. And by the way, we're going to put a news feed, so if you have questions, just ask it there. I can answer. I'm going to watch that. And every week, I'll have virtual office hours online where anybody can come and just ask me anything. But the culmination of all this, you're going to do a show and tell, and we're going to put it back via video. We'll do it on link. And whatever your solution is, we'll post it back to SharePoint Idol, and we'll make the rest of the company vote who has the best solution. Now, what's the kicker? Everybody's like, well, great thoughts, but we're busy, whatever. I said, but wait, there's more. Whoever wins SharePoint Idol, that team gets a day off, free PTO. Everybody with me? So I work with IT, with HR, corporate communications, and they're all for this. Because we want to see how this works in this sample of group. And the magical thing, in this 4 weeks, this exercise, we learned a lot. Number one, what we learned is everybody was into it. They asked questions, and then they start asking questions that has nothing to do with the project. Apparently, they started using SharePoint in their day-to-day lives. The other beautiful thing is IT doesn't even have to wait to answer those questions because their peers who sees those questions, oh, I've already done that. Do this. Check this out. Go here. Y'all with me? Every time we do our weekly office hours, I record the questions and I show them how to do things and I post that back right away. Now they have their instant knowledge base of how-tos. And we did this whole thing. Somebody won. But guess what? That SharePoint idol site is alive and well. The power of social. The business value it brings. And the key, when you drive learning, you have to expect that they do something about it. Because if you don't, what happens? People go to training. They come back. They go back what they do. And nothing happens. Take what you learned from the pilot, and if you decide, boy, this will be great for my company or the entire project teams, let's now roll it out organization-wide. So you take the same thing, what you did for the pilot, but now figure out how you can scale the learning. You can't do face-to-face for 100,000 people, so I recommended that we put different virtual learning modules. We train the trainer, have key champions in different regions to redo this. And the key is you have to work with key business groups. Certainly you work with IT, but go beyond that. Work with HR, work with corporate communications. Corporate communications does a great job in communicating to folks in the organization. HR, you work with them because you want to find out how can you drive incentives? How can you drive rewards? Now, I'm not saying you ask for a free PTO. That's just an example. But see how you can drive rewards. Not only can people benefit from using these tools to be better project managers, but they get some reward, at least initially, right? Essential components to drive sustainable adoption organization-wide is there's that training component. The support component is very important. When we talk about support, we're talking about the first layer, self-service. A lot of times when we roll out things like Project Online or SharePoint, we still fall back to the classic, if I need help, I'm going to call IT, right? And we don't want to fill out that IT support request form, because if we say something wrong there, what does IT say? No access for you, next. So how do you provide a way so people can help themselves? One thing you can do, and I've seen a lot of companies do this, they put things like, you know, learning portals, little PowerPoint. One tool I use a lot, there's a tool out there that you can, let me pull it up in a second here. There's a tool out there you can use for a project online, and you can use for SharePoint. It's, and they have an app as well. Let's see. It's called Visual SP. And this tool, what it does, and this is really cool, let me grab a screenshot here. All right, so here's a good screenshot. If you install this tool in your environment, and again, this works for a project as well, it embeds a help tab, and it has these like YouTube videos, contextual videos, like how to upload a document or how to create a project plan. And other than videos that comes with this, you can put in your own videos that contextual to your organization. You can even put checklists, right? So let's say when you start a project, you create a project site. Here's a checklist. Here's what you need to do next. Y'all with me? It's very good because it's in context. So if a user is in a document library, in a calendar, in a task list, they can click on help, and these things are there on demand. This will help drive adoption, help drive self-service support, and reduce a lot of the IT requirements, and a lot of them are basic stuff that you don't want to deal with as IT because you want to look at more of the heavy lifting and complex things. Think about how you're going to provide ongoing engagement. You roll this out. What kind of structure are you going to put together so you can sustain this growth, right? Which brings us to the last step. When we talk about driving sustainable adoption, when we roll it out, that's just the beginning. And that's where a lot of organizations are good at, but past that, they flounder. No ownership. Nobody owns driving adoption, really. We just do what we do. We let IT fix the environment if it's broken. But nobody's pushing it so we can move it up to the next level. When we want to drive and facilitate long-term engagement, support should be scalable. We talked about this. Other than self-service, you should provide a community-based support mechanism. And Yammer is fantastic for this. In Project Online and SharePoint, there's a template or there's a feature called communities. You can use that. Remember that story about that company I work with SharePoint Idol, suddenly they have this community. And then they expanded beyond that. They had communities of practice now for project management, for risk management. They help each other. And then IT is your last call, and IT will focus on the heavy lifting. Through time, gather feedback. And you can see the behavior through a lot of the analytics that's built in through Yammer or through SharePoint Online or through partner solutions. See what works and see what doesn't, and continue to iterate. Part of what you need to do is you measure success. And a lot of us fail in doing this. A lot of us, when you want to measure our project online or SharePoint implementation, we typically look at these numbers, right? Which is great, you know, how many people went to the site, how many people was engaged. But other than the quantitative measure, you have to tie this back to the qualitative measure. Why? For example, you know, you look at this statistic. Wow, there's a lot of likes. There's a lot of message. You know, suddenly it spiked, but for what reason? Is it because we won the project, or is it because the Seahawks won? Y'all with me? Other than the qualitative measure, you go back to the business value in step two we talked about, where you map the business value. How are we doing in improving team collaboration? Did we streamline it? Yes, we did, across different regions. Our business actually grew because we closed, we sent out more RFPs, and there's more projects delivered on time. What about employee engagement? So you tie the qualitative measure with a quantitative measure. But the most important here, friends, is who's going to own this? At the end of the day, you know, I have opinions about this. I say as you get started, the PMO should own this. You got to track. PMO does a great job in tracking and measuring and looking at value. Own this. Don't give this to IT. And this is not in a negative sense. IT has so much more on their plate. You work with IT. But own and see how enterprise social is bringing value to your project management initiatives. What do you guys think? Useful? To drive sustainable adoption, step one, we secure stakeholder buy-in. Step two, once we get the check writers, the decision makers, understanding the business value, we map it to key business value. Look for low-hanging fruits. What are the pain points in your project management environment? Run a pilot and test those pain points and prove the enterprise social tools can support you. Step three, drive it through the whole entire organization. And last step, make sure you facilitate engagement through time to sustain this. So let me ask you this question. Who's going to do these steps? Come on. Give me some love here. Are you guys sure you want to do these steps? Raise your hand. Yeah. Keep those hands up. All right. Stand up. I'm going to teach you these steps. All right. Stand up. I'm going to show you the five steps to drive enterprise social so we can lead this revolution. All right. So here's how it works. So step one is you put your hands together. What's step one again? Executive buy-in, right? Step two, which is your right foot, is what? Map to business value, yes? Step three, do a pilot. Come on, do this with me. Step four, roll out to the entire company. And step five, facilitate engagement, right? All right, let's try this out. Let's do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, okay. Wait. I mean, I can't see you guys, so I gotta get my other glasses. All right, let's try this, all right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One more time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You ready? All right, this is it. Open Gangnam Style. Thank you. So you guys ready for this shift? Make it happen, all right? So hopefully you've gotten a lot out of this. Thank you. And if you have questions about any of the things I've talked about, be more than glad to share it with you. Please fill out the session eval. And again, this is for you. It's yours for the taking. It's here. Be the change. Make the shift happen. Enjoy the rest of the conference. Yeah?